views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hi, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio and WBLQ 1230 AM, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience inspiration, creativity, healing, and knowledge. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Lucid Planet Radio, we will have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, and authors helping you to discover the greatest version of yourself. You can find out more at thelucidplanet.com and listen to all of my show archives at lucidplanetradio.com. Today, we are going to talk about some of the most interesting and also really the most challenging questions that we face together on this human journey. Specifically, what does it mean to have a spiritual awakening? The phrase awakening means many different things to many different people. For me, personally, it means a recognition of your truest self and a realization that we are all connected, that we are all one, that we are all different manifestations of the same consciousness. And usually this awakening coincides with some kind of death of the ego, a seeing past the illusions of reality and into some greater truth about ourselves. Many of us are seeing this kind of awakening, and more people seem to be experiencing it as we become increasingly aware of wanting to heal the problems and the limitations that are facing humanity. And really, for me at least, there is no one way to experience awakening. Some do it through meditation, through breath work, through yoga, through eating clean. Others try to get a glimpse of it by using psychedelic substances like psilocybin or LSD or DMT to bring them into them state, which is, of course, only temporary, but the insights can create profound changes in the long term. So to talk today about this subject of awakening and what that really means in the spiritual sense, and of course, this is subjective, and that's okay. But I'm very pleased to welcome Eli Jackson Bear to the show today to talk about his new book, Sudden Awakening, and the process through which we let go of the ego, we see past the illusion, and we can begin to accept our true nature and live with joy and love. A little bit about Eli, his path and his search on this journey ended when he was pulled to India in 1990, and he met his final teacher, Sri HWL Punja, or Papaji, and confirming his realization, his teacher sent him back into the world to share his unique psychological insights on the nature of egoic suffering in support of self-realization. And Eli currently meets people and teaches through the Leela Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to world peace and freedom through universal self-realization. So some really interesting, really deep topics today. And I am just really excited to welcome Eli to the show. So welcome, Eli.
Thank you, Kelly. Glad we get to meet this way.
For sure. Me too, in the virtual realm. But it's wonderful to chat with you. I guess my first question for you and the place that I really want to start is, what inspired you to go on a spiritual search? And many of us are seekers seeking knowledge. What was your kind of personal story or inspiration that made you go seeking for answers?
Well, actually, I didn't really go on a spiritual search, Kelly. I was a political revolutionary during the 60s. And okay. I started out going to Alabama when I was 18 years old with SNCC as part of the Montgomery-Selma march happened. I was part of the demonstrations that led up to that. And I was 18 years old. I was a freshman in college. And we were beaten by posse men on horses with clubs. And it that was an awakening that shattered my vision of America, shattered my vision of what the United States was, because still at that point in the 60s, there was a unified vision of what the United States was. It was a myth. It was a dream. And it woke me up from that dream. And then I was then in Chicago in 68 when the Democratic Convention came, and we fought the police in the streets there, and it created another rupture in my view of the world and view of the country. And I continually was being tested. When I got on that bus for freedom to go to Montgomery, from that point on, I was being tested for how far am I willing to go for freedom? How much am I willing to give of my personal for freedom? And that test just continued deepening along the way until finally I ended up, we tried to stop the government in 1971 in May Days in Washington, and I was arrested for freeing a prisoner and jumping a policeman, and I went underground and became a federal fugitive at that point. So my life had been given at that to the revolution, to freedom, to what I saw freedom is at that point. And wow. I kept getting pushed further and further.
How did you get to India?
Well, that was 1971. So 1971, I was in a cabin in Colorado with guns and dynamite and a federal fugitive and being hunted by both, you know, the federal and state police and narcotics. And I was dealing grass and acid, and I was up against the wall. I didn't
Sounds
know
like
what
a
to
movie.
Do.
How
do
you...
right. Yeah, my life has been a movie in the most mind-blowing way.
I love it.
Yeah. And so I was up in my cabin in Colorado facing how do I take a life in the name of life. I knew I was one with my brothers and sisters in Vietnam. I knew they were right in shooting down the bombers. I grew up my whole life hating the Germans for being good Germans, for not standing up to Hitler. And here I was being a good American while my country was committing genocide, and I couldn't bear it. On the other hand, I couldn't kill either. I didn't know what to do. And I was caught in this dilemma, which became my way of going into self-examination of what am I willing to do? Am I willing to take a life in the name of life? And ultimately, I found I wasn't, but I was willing to die for it. I wasn't willing to kill for it, but I was willing to die for it. Mm-hmm. And I had a profound awakening in that cabin in 1972 and set off on my spiritual search and went everywhere, saw everybody. It took me 18 years from 1972 to 1990. When I found my true teacher, my final teacher. I went through all the different traditions. I've been, you know, I did Dharma combat in a Zen monastery in Japan. I was initiated into a Sufi clan in Morocco. The first place I went was into Peru. I was in the uncharted areas of the Andes at that time, looking for a hidden valley of a secret brotherhood. And that's where I started.
How did you, it sounds absolutely amazing. And certainly these experiences have given you some phenomenal insight on life and the nature of our reality, which I can't wait to talk about. I'm just curious, how did you know that you had found your final teacher?
When I walked into his bedroom, well, actually, I had a name. I didn't really know. I was searching for somebody more awake than I was. I considered myself relatively awake at that point. I was, you know, I knew I was one with everything. All the things you said about what it's supposed to be, I had all of that, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't finished.
Sure.
I was looking for somebody who could transmit silence, transmit a silent mind. And so I had a piece of paper with an address, and I knocked on his door. They didn't know I was coming. And a man answered the door and said, he's waiting for you. Come in, which absolutely blew my mind. And I went in, and I went up into his bedroom. He's in a small room, big enough for a bed and a chair. And he had me sit on his bed with him. And as soon as I looked at him, I knew I was sitting facing my own self in reality, looking back at me from emptiness, loving me as I am. And I knew it was over. I knew my spiritual search was finished.
Wow, that's
and
amazing.
So, that was 1990.
And so how long did you stay there before you came back to try to share these transmissions?
Well, actually, when I came, I was with him for about 2 months. And then when I came back, it wasn't to share the transmission. He asked me to do that. But I said, no, my wife is a Sadhguru. And I brought my wife back to meet him. And he named her Gangaji and sent her out into the world, sent us both out into the world, but sent her as someone who had the nobility and sattvic nature and purity to carry the transmission to the West. And so before Gangaji came in 1990 to teach here, there was no satsang in America. There was no self-inquiry. There was no talk of enlightenment. All that has been since Papaji, really.
It's amazing how quickly it's evolved, hasn't it?
It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing because when I went to find him, I'd never heard of satsang. And I'd been on the I've been in the spiritual scene. I was in Zen and Tibetan Buddhism, and I was with Hindu gurus and everybody. Whoever came through town, I saw them. And nobody spoke of a silent mind. Nobody spoke of satsang. Nobody spoke of the possibility of liberation in this lifetime. And now it's spread everywhere around the world, wherever we go. I'm flying out to Australia on Sunday, and there's a huge community in Australia. There's a community in New Zealand. There's people waking up all over. It's mind-blowing.
I can't wait to talk more about this. We only have, I think, 2 minutes before we go into the break, but I just wanted to say, you know, if anything, you know, people seem to be experiencing these awakening or ascension symptoms or whatever you want to call it. Why is it happening so quickly all of a sudden that, you know, in 1990, this was barely a thing. And now it's everywhere you look. Everyone's talking about it. It's all over social media. What's changing?
Well, it took root in 1990 when Gangaji first came, people did not know what she was talking about. When I held satsang in the beginning, people didn't know. They didn't even consider a quiet mind. They didn't consider awakening. So that's 25 years now. It's spread through the gene pool. And people are having, it's now kids are being born into an environment where their parents have satsang. I mean, that's unheard of, you know. So it's spreading very quickly and people are waking up. The great trap, though, is that rather than waking
up, this is
up,
amazing. Eli, I have to cut you off there because we're heading into the break.
Sure.
And as soon as we come back, we will talk more with Eli Jackson Bear here about the process of awakening on all of this amazing, mind-blowing stuff. So you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and we will be right back.
I'll always love you. I promise to always love you. Cause I think the whole world of you. And you can't change that. No, no. There's nothing you can do or say.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Has asthma or allergies got you singing the raspy blues? Allergy and Asthma Networks is the nation's premier nonprofit patient-centered network of doctors, caregivers, patients, and healthcare professionals who are dedicated to ending death and suffering due to asthma, allergies, and related conditions. Join President and CEO Tanya Winders each month on the Dr. Pat Show to learn more and visit allergyasthmanetwork.org today. Breathe better together with Allergy and Asthma Network.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
1230 WPLQ.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. My guest today is Eli Jackson Bear, author of Sudden Awakening. Before we continue, I just want to make sure everybody knows how to contact Eli. Could you give us your contact info? Tell your listeners where they can find out more about your writing, your classes, and your events, and the Leela Foundation?
Yeah, it's the Leela Foundation, www.leela.org, L-E-E-L-A.
Great. And from there, they can also find your where to order your book and go to seminars. And
sure, I know it's all there.
Awesome. And I know you have a lot of events coming up, too.
We do. I also is on Facebook. It's the Leela Community, L-E-E-L-A, community, one word.
Perfect.
On Facebook.
Leela Community on Facebook, so you can stay on top of all those events. Awesome. Thank you, Eli. We're going to talk a little bit more. You know, we've talked about satsang and awakening, and I thought it might be good for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with these ideas or who are learning and new to this, if Eli, if you could explain to them what satsang is and what awakening is to you.
Okay. So awakening, it's like just when we go to bed at night, we have to leave our whole world behind. If you try to hold on to anything from the world, what you have to do tomorrow, what happened today, what you should have said, what they said, if you hold on to any of it, you can't go to sleep. So finally, eventually, you drop the world. You drop everything. The person sleeping next to you, you can't take them in with you. You go alone. And in going alone, when you drop into sleep, you drop into a deep, dark quiet that is so nourishing, that is so revitalizing, that if it doesn't happen, you go crazy. If you stay up too long without going to sleep, you go mad. So we all need that. At some point, we have to drop everything and fall into sleep. That dropping of everything is the key. And that's what most, to wake up from the dream then, to wake up the next morning, you have to leave the whole dream world behind. And in the dream world, there can be people and events and activities and all this stuff is going on, but when you open your eyes, it's over. And when you open your eyes and it's over, where did those dream people go? They didn't go anywhere because they didn't exist, right? They're empty. It's all empty. And so when you are willing to wake up from the waking dream that we call reality, it happens just like that. You wake up and realize it doesn't exist. It's really a dream that we call reality, that we give our life to. Everybody is sucked into the dream and spends their life trying to make it a better dream. And so you have babies or money or career or awakening or spirituality, and all these become attempts at making a better dream. But finally, when you realize that nothing that you do can give you permanent fulfillment, permanent happiness, true freedom, then you're willing to stop fixing the dream and to wake up from it. And the thing about enlightenment is that, what does it mean? Enlightened means to bring the light. Mm-hmm. So whatever we bring the light to, we can become enlightened about. If you don't know how a car engine works and you learn how to take a car engine apart, you become enlightened about car engines. So there's relative enlightenment for everything that we put the light on. But finally, if you're willing to put the light into the darkness that is behind the light of your own self, to put the light where it hasn't shown before, you look into the dark depths of the unknown to find the truth of yourself.
Hmm.
That's That's what waking up is. You turn your back on everything that's called reality. Everything. The world, your life, your family, your story, your past, your future, the solar system, the universe, God, hell, heaven. You turn your back on everything known to face the unknown.
And is the unknown inside of us?
It's everywhere, but you start by looking inside. When you go all the way in, you find there, in truth, there is no in or out, but you start by going in because there's a belief in an in and an out.
Mm-hmm. This is very deep and sounds very challenging, I think, for a lot of people who are seeking more and they want more, but they don't, they're kind of afraid of letting go of everything, right? We all kind of
exactly,
want to believe it's
people,
real.
Of course, because everyone wants more.
See? Yeah.
More is the dream. If I only had better sex or better enlightenment, or I had more, if I only had more compassion, or people had more compassion for me, if only people could see me who I am, if only I could express myself, if only I could, all that, more. Uh-huh. It's just trying to fix the dream.
So can anyone wake up from the dream?
Yes, because who you are is already awake and free. It's the willingness to turn your back on who you believe you are, to find who you really are.
And what does that process look like for you?
It just takes the total willingness for the truth. That's all. You don't, it's nothing, there's no religion, there's no belief. You don't have to believe anything. You don't have to trust anything. You don't, all you have to do is be so fully committed to finding the truth that whatever it takes, you must know the truth. Then the truth sets you free.
So in being
willing to find the truth, that means turning your back on the illusion. And the illusion is everything that appears.
So one thing that always comes up when we talk about this kind of stuff is the idea that, can you be a functioning member of society, whatever that looks like, and still be awake? Do you have to, when you say turn your back on everything, do you have to leave your home, leave your job, leave your family? Is this something that you can still exist and have connections with people and participate in activism with people? Or is this something that you kind of just, you have to go and wander and leave or be homeless or starve? Or a lot of people struggle with this kind of dichotomy.
Yeah, well, it doesn't take physically changing anything at all. It takes the willingness to turn your back on home, family, everything to find the truth. Because if you're not willing to turn your back on the dream, everything will appear in the dream. It's like if you're sitting in a movie theater and you're looking at the movie, and as long as you're engaged in the movie, it's funny, it's sad, it's this, it's that, and you want it to be better and you want to have a better ending. If you're willing to turn away from the movie to look at the projector, you see the light, but you can't look at the projector and the movie at the same time. It's one way or the other.
Yes, it is. So,
and so you don't have to physically leave, although I did. My life was unusual. It doesn't have to be that way. My teacher continued raising his family, working for his family until he retired. So it's not about what happens on the outside. The outside doesn't have to change. It's your finding out who you are. Then actually you can be better functioning in the world because you're not being driven by your egoic fantasies and desires and fears. Everyone is being driven by their egoic fears and desires and make a mess of everything.
Hmm.
When you're awake and free in the dream, then you can be a free actor. You can actually serve rather than trying to get more.
Can a human exist? Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I'm just wondering.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
In psychology, we talk about the Freudian ego as the kind of reality principle. And obviously, the way you're talking about the ego is a different understanding of it, that it's, you know, everything that is kind of illusion and getting us to be sucked into our separateness. But I just wonder, can a human exist without an ego? And what does that look like?
It's not about existing without an ego. It's waking up from the trance of the ego.
Mm.
And I'm existing quite well, thank you. My wife, Gangaji, exists quite well. We travel around the world. We have an incredible life. We're happy. We're free. We love each other. We do the ordinary things of life. We love movies. We love good food. I love cooking. We go for walks. We love nature. I'm a gardener. But it's all being done without needing anything back. See, before, yes, it was always a need for recognition, a need for somebody to say how great you are, how lovable you are, how wonderful you are, whatever it is. There's always a need for somebody else outside to give you something. Mm. But when that is fulfilled from the inside, you don't need anything. You can just be yourself.
So,
and
yeah,
everyone is speaking it. Every ego. See, ego is the unreality principle. It's based on the false identification that who you are is a piece of meat. And as long as you identify yourself as a piece of meat, you will suffer. Because that meat's going to die. And it's going to get sick and die. Yes. And everyone denies that, acts as if it's not going to happen to me, and tries to get as much happiness, enlightenment, fulfillment, prosperity before that happens. But it's you know, and no one comes out alive.
Nope. None of so, us, that's what I always say. None of us are getting out of here alive.
That's yeah. it. Yeah. And so as long as you are identified as the dead meat, you're going to suffer. Ego yes. is the survival machine for the meat. It's run on survival, sex, and relationship. That's what runs ego. Ego has three drives: the drive to survive, the drive to replicate, and the drive to cooperate for survival.
Yes.
And so those three drives run every ego. And as long as that's what's running the show, it's all basically selfish. It's all about me and my survival, me and my family, me and my children, me and my job, me and my art. Whatever it is, it's always me and mine.
Yes.
And me and mine is ego.
Separation. I can't wait to get, I can't wait to talk more about this after the break. I'm Dr. Kelly and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio. And when we come back, I will be talking much more with Eli Jackson Bear about the ego and unreality and how we kind of break out of this trance of the ego to become these awakened beings and what that really means. So stay tuned and we will be right back after the break.
A full moon in sight, shining down on the parked train.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet, welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Let the transition begin. Tune in to the hit show, Majestic Insights Radio, Success for Life's Transitions, with host Carrie Keith. Carrie is a gifted intuitive coach, healer, and teacher who will lead you through her empowering techniques of ancient wisdom and awareness so you can live your happiest, healthiest, and most vibrant life. Let Carrie teach you the tools of transformation that will help you experience success for all of life's transitions. To learn more about Carrie, visit www.majesticinsights.com.
1230 WPLQ.
We've already said
we are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I am here with Eli Jackson Bear. We are speaking about his book, Sudden Awakening, and more specifically, kind of overcoming the ego and seeing past the illusion or the dream to find our true essence and what that path looks like. Eli, before we went to the break, we talked a lot about the selfishness of the ego. And you made a fantastic point about if we're only protecting our own self-interests, whether it's my family or my art or my job or whatever, it separates us incredibly. And the ego is, of course, the master of separation. And so my question for you is, how did this start? Or how do we become these beings that are so ruled by ego that we seek out this separation rather than this kind of unity with our fellow humans and nature?
Ego is the most powerful, important software upgrade that happens to any brain on the planet. It's the capacity to have an overview so that if the whole tribe decides to run off the cliff, there's somebody who can say, wait a minute, that may not be a good idea. Let's look and see. Let's check it out. So the ego has the capacity to plan, to look ahead, to learn from the past, to modulate, to create, all of, to survive. The ego is the ultimate survival machine. It's beautiful. It's what allows humans to dominate the world. And so it was so successful that it's now become a poison. Because now that we've dominated the world, we're killing it. And we're killing it with the same ego that we used to dominate it. I mean, that's because the ego is based on survival, replication, and family and connection. So as long as that becomes your worldview, and it's not about even defending or not, it's that becomes the, how you see the world. You look at the world about, is it safe? Is it sexual? Is it for me and my people? Is it my tribe? Is it my family? Are these my children? And we see the world that way. And then we project that onto our children. We want our children to be the perfect projections of who we want to be. And it gets passed on. It's a beautiful survival technique to have this false sense that I'm in control and I can do it. It's beautiful. It creates the whole living possibility, but it's a larval stage. It's a pupa stage. It's like it's a caterpillar stage. So the caterpillar can look around munching on leaves and say, well, I don't get it. I can't fly. It's not going to work for me. And I don't want to die and go into that little cocoon, and who knows what's going to happen in there. It's dark. It's scary. And so the caterpillar will be terrified of going into the cocoon and coming out and flying. It seems impossible. And yet, that's the next stage of life. The next stage of life is not to kill the ego or end the ego. The ego is useful. Just like in our brain, we have a reptile brain that runs the whole show. We are not reptiles any longer, but we have a reptilian brain, and without it, we don't survive. The reptilian brain controls our heartbeat, our blood flow, our body temperature. It does things for us that if our conscious mind had to do it, it would never work. So it's beautiful that we have a reptilian brain. But if we live as reptiles, we miss the opportunity of being human. And if we live as egos, we miss the opportunity of the next level of life, of growing up. So most people don't grow up. They just become big babies.
I can definitely agree with you on that. Think about some ex-boyfriends. Anyway.
Exactly.
So tell me, I guess, what does that world look like of, you know, we become this chrysalis, this cocoon, we're birthed as butterflies. How are we different in that type of a world?
You're not in the world. You're awake in the dream. Is the best way to say it. You're awake in the dream. So you know it's a dream, you know who you are, and you're able to play your part. And whatever part appears, you can play it without taking it personally. See, most people take their parts personally. I am the girlfriend, I am the mother, I am the daughter, I am the successful psychologist. Whatever it is, we identify with our roles as who we are, and we take them home, and then we go to bed with them. So a good actor plays the role fully and doesn't take it home, goes home and drops the role. So if you're willing to drop all the roles, and that goes down to being a man or a woman, you drop it and you're free of it. Then when you need to put it on, it's quite natural. You play your role, but you're playing it without taking it personally. Mm-hmm. Let's say that's the whole key. If you stop taking life personally, you live an impersonal life, and impersonal life is filled with love. It's filled with clarity. It's filled with peace and wisdom. Taking it personally, there's always blame, either of yourself or someone else. There's judgment. There's horror of fear, and there's the horror of desire. And you are run like a donkey chasing a carrot and running from a stick and calling it me and my life.
Right. So what advice do you have for people who they want to stop taking things so personally? Because, of course, this is a recurring theme, I think, for many of us. And, you know, there's constantly, and you add like technology and social media and everyone comparing themselves to other people and being in that space. Is there practical advice for people who really don't want to take life so personally? Is there practices they can engage in? Great.
No, any practice is a practice of the ego. Every practice presupposes some change in the future. That's ego. Who you are is timeless, formless, spaceless, intelligent love. You can't practice to be that. You can't create it. You can't manifest it. You can't co-create it. You can't make it happen. All you can do is wake up from the fact that you're not anything other than that. See, it's so simple. Yep. It's the simplest thing is to be still. If you're simply willing to be quiet, to not give rise to the thought, if you sit long enough in any one space without thinking, everything will be revealed. Yep. If what you want is the truth. It's really, you have to examine yourself wherever you are. Whatever you think you want, you examine yourself. What do I really want? What will give me lasting fulfillment? What will give me lasting love? And then when you find it, you give your life to it. Mm. You don't do it an hour a day or half an hour a day or some practice or go on a retreat. You give your life to what it is you really want. Joseph Campbell called it following your bliss.
Following your bliss.
It's the willingness.
Right?
But following your bliss gets misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving your life. It's putting all the chips in. It's like it's at a poker table, and you're throwing everything in to the pot. Saying, I'm full in. I'm here. Whatever it takes, I'm here. Most people never have that. Most people are split in so many different directions because I've got what my mother wants, what my father wants, what my brother and sisters want, what my parents want, what my children want, what my lovers want, what my boss wants, what my friends want, and all these expectations. I've got to perform for all of them. There's no time for just really finding out, without all of that, who are you? Mm-hmm. If all those disappear, what's left? Then you find the truth. So really, the most practical advice is you find what you want, give your life to it, whatever it is, and something will be revealed.
That's quite a beautiful...
The truth will be revealed. Your true self will be revealed.
And when we talk about that, so that true self is kind of like that true essence underneath the ego, underneath everything of, you know, what we really, do you believe that we're here, everyone has a purpose and a mission? Or do you think it's more simple than that?
It's much simpler than that. It's like, that's the egoic idea that I'm doing something special and it's really about me. Mm-hmm. It's not about you. It's like every snowflake is unique. Every snowflake is unique. How many of them do you want to see? You know?
Yeah.
It's pretty boring. You know? Okay, there's the millionth, 10 billionth unique snowflake. Whoa, there's another unique snowflake. Whoa. You know?
Right.
But the thing is that as the snowflake falls to the earth, it dissolves. It becomes water. And as water, it joins the ocean. And as ocean, it is the oneness of itself. It doesn't become anything else. It simply realizes, as its form dissolves, it realizes its true nature. And so your true nature is to wake up. That's the true purpose of being here on Earth, is to find out who you are. And everybody has that purpose. Most people will never even be aware that they have that purpose because they're too busy getting food, surviving,
sure,
dodging the bombs and the horror of the world. So the lucky few that are able to actually have the time and the resources, like everyone who's listening to this does, that's an opportunity that Mother Earth has given to us. It's a precious gift. Most people never even hear the possibility that you can wake up and be free. But now you've heard it. And if you hear it and you give your life to it, your life will be given back to you in ways you can't imagine, beyond belief.
And on that note, we're going to take a few minutes break. Thank you, Eli. That's incredibly inspiring. And I'm very blessed to have you on the show. And I think we're all blessed to be able to think about these ideas. You're absolutely right. So this is Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. And when we come back, we will talk more about the search for awakening and what that looks like. All right, stay tuned.
Doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com.
Welcome home.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
1230 WBLQ.
We've got trouble.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. And I am here with Eli Jackson Bear, author of Sudden Awakening. We've been having a really interesting chat today about the nature of awakening and enlightenment. And we left off the last segment by talking about how the true nature is really to, our true nature is really to wake up and to find our true selves. And it's almost so simple, but yet we've managed to build it into something that's so incredibly complicated. And so I wanted to wrap up the show by just talking about, you know, so many of us are actively searching and looking for answers, for meaning, for truth. And that's all well and good. But it almost seems like that searching itself is overcomplicating, and that maybe instead of searching, we just need to know that we already know. I've certainly been through this a lot in my life, going from searching to not searching to searching. And I just thought, Eli, you have such an interesting perspective. What advice do you give to people who are seeking knowledge and seeking awakening?
That's so beautiful, if you are seeking enlightenment, seeking knowledge, seeking love, seeking awakening. It's so rare of the 6 billion people on our planet, or how many there are, a billion there are now. It's so rare. It's so lucky. What a lucky life that you have this possibility, that this actual desire arises in you to find the truth, to wake up. That's so beautiful. And all I can say is, it's like the other day, I couldn't find my glasses. I was looking all over for them, and they were on my head. So I was looking through my glasses to find my glasses. And that's what people are doing. They're looking through they're looking with the true eye through the ego to find themselves. So all you have to do is turn your attention back to where this light of consciousness comes from that shines out through your eyes. Where does this light of consciousness come from that hears with your ears, that smells with your nose? To turn back to find it, to realize it. Not to just know it theoretically and abstractly, not to just know we're all one, but to actually realize it is the life-changing, profound event of your life. Then life begins. Before that, it can be beautiful, it can be spiritual, it can be loving and kind and happy. And it is, and that's great. It's much better than hanging out in a bar getting drunk. It definitely is better quality. But there's so much more. And it takes the willingness to lose everything you already have to find the unknown, to look at the unknown, to give yourself to the unknown.
For people who, what do you say to people who experiment with psychedelics to get them to that place? Because there's so many accounts of people using LSD or psilocybin or DMT who actually are able to see beyond the illusion or wake up from the dream.
Yes, it's so powerful that way. You can have true, profound spiritual experiences with psychedelics. I haven't in many decades, but in the 60s and 70s, I loved LSD. I loved the goddess of marijuana. I mean, those were powerful, powerful medicines for me, and had profound awakening with it. The great trap of it, though, is that when you come down, you become conceptually enlightened. And I saw that. I lived on a commune in 1972, in the Oregon Hills, and it was a beautiful commune, and it was a great thing. We all did acid together. But everyone then didn't go any further because they thought they already had it, because they already understood it. They'd already experienced it. But that experience becomes a memory, and the memory then gets captured by the ego and used to create a spiritual ego that is conceptually enlightened, that already, quote, knows everything. And so That's the great trap that I found. That's why I needed a real teacher in the flesh and blood that could look back at me and transmit to me a silent mind. And I searched for 18 years. I was already awake from LSD, and it was a profound awakening, but it wasn't finished. It wasn't over.
That's a really fantastic perspective. So I love what you talked about, this kind of like egoic spirituality, because you do come across people who are like, I'm an urban shaman, I'm a guru, I'm this, I'm that, I'll heal you. And they seem to know things, but it's coming from this place of like wanting to kind of please their ego, that they're special because they know things. For a while, this kind of threw me off my spiritual path because I was like, oh, is this what this is about? Because this is kind of terrible. You know, and then you realize it has nothing to do with you. What do you have to say to people who kind of find themselves trapped in that cycle?
It's possible to wake up and be free. And it takes the willingness to humble yourself. You know, that's what the beauty of having a teacher is you have to surrender. Yes. I mean, I was always somebody who did it. I did it myself. I was independent. I was a revolutionary. I mean, I went out into the uncharted areas of the Andes. I mean, I was a lone explorer, and I had enormous spiritual pride. And so I had to have a teacher that I could surrender to that could see through me, that could see all the way through, could see my lies, could see my arrogance, and could see the truth of the silent love that I am. And so I surrendered to my teacher, and I'm still at my teacher's feet. I love my beloved teacher. It's the beautiful, the sweetest relationship, the student-teacher relationship, and a true, with a pure teacher and a pure student, it's the best. There's nothing else like it, the true devotional relationship. But it's so rare because it gets used, it gets misused, it gets abused.
Yeah.
But my teacher said, a true teacher has no teaching, and a true student has no head. So
for people out there looking for a teacher, do you have any advice?
Stay true to your heart. The true teacher is alive within you. There is a true teacher. There's only one true teacher. And that one true teacher lives in every heart. If you are willing to turn away from everything else, to surrender back into your own heart, this true teacher will guide you. And it may guide you to a teacher in form. It did for me. Yeah. It guided me to a teacher in form. It may not. My teacher's teacher, Ramana Maharshi, had a holy mountain. That was his guru. So... Yeah. But you will be guided to whatever you need, because what is alive in you is what loves you and knows you better than anything and is bringing you home. So it's really just a willingness to surrender home.
I love that. We only have a few more minutes. I just wanted to ask you kind of an interesting question to close it out. What about for people who aren't really interested in the spiritual path or spiritual journey? What advice do you have for them?
Be happy. Be happy. Be happy and stay with what you love.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, stay with what you love.
I think that's definitely good advice for everyone, huh? You know, because in the end of the day, whether or not we choose to admit it, we are all these spiritual beings, and we are connected more infinitely than we can possibly imagine, whatever that looks like. So really what it comes down to is we're allowed to be flexible and change throughout our lives. Some people are totally religious and then they become totally atheist and then they become totally spiritual and then they become totally into science. And it's okay to kind of dabble, and it's okay to be willing to explore these things. And I want to put that out there to our listeners today that, you know, whatever path that you're taking is part of your journey, and that's fine. You are allowed to change, and you are allowed to go deeper, and you're allowed to give yourself permission to explore that. So I just wanted to say that. And I want to thank my guest today, Eli Jackson Bear, for sharing some very inspiring information. Thank you for coming on the show, Eli.
So glad, Kelly. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Real fun speaking with you.
Yeah. It's been really good. A lot of interesting stuff you brought up. Definitely got me thinking. And I want to thank all of our listeners as well for tuning in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I had such a good time. And you can join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain and 2 p.m. Pacific on KKNW 1150 a.m. Seattle and WBLQ 1230 a.m. broadcasting from Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. You can also find me at thelucidplanet.com and connect with me on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. You can also find all of my archived SoundCloud podcasts at SoundCloud/TheLucidPlanetDrKelly. Next week on Lucid Planet Radio, I will be interviewing one of my all-time favorite visionary artists, Amanda Sage, about inspiration, creativity, and responsibility. So stay tuned, and I will see you next week. Lots of light and love. Take care. Bye.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.